From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, an hour-length dramatization of a very charming, as well as a very chilling story. Richard Hughes, A High Wind in Jamaica. It's a story of children and pirates, and some rather awful and unexpected happenings. Today's dramatization is by Jane Speed. Hear it now in the NBC Theater. A High Wind in Jamaica by Richard Hughes.
Of emancipation in the West Indian Islands nearly a century ago was a number of run-down sugar plantations. Typical of these ruins was the estate of Ferndale on the island of Jamaica. People who lived there at the time I have in mind were called Bass Thornton, a family from England. There were five children, John the eldest, Emily, who had just turned 10, and the three younger children, Rachel, Edward, and Laura, known collectively as the Lidleys. This place was a kind of a paradise for English children to come to, whatever it might be for their parents. There, one had to be a little ahead of the times, or decadent, whichever you like to call it.
Emily, Emily, look what I found. A whole nest of little kittens.
Don't be silly. They're not kittens. They're baby wildcats.
Look out, they'll bite you.
John, couldn't we take one back with us? Please, couldn't we?
I don't know. I'll try to get one of them for you before the mother comes back.
Be careful, they're all running away.
I know, but they scratch so. Here, I've got one. Now, you little beastie, you're going home with us.
Let's call him Tabby, shall we, John? Nice Tabby, nice little Tabby. Isn't he nice, Emily?
Please don't bother me. I'm thinking.
Oh, let her alone, Rachel. Ever since the earthquake yesterday, she's been too stuck up to play with us.
The very word earthquake was tremendously impressive to Emily. And the realization that she had actually been in one almost too much for her. Heaven had played its last, most terrible card, and she, small Emily, had survived. Over and over, she said to herself,
I have been in an earthquake.
So Emily sat apart, meditating on the glory that was hers, while the other children played on without her.
John! Do you see anything of your father?
No, Mother, not yet.
Well, bring the children in, will you? There's a bad storm coming, and dinner's almost ready anyhow.
But, Mother...
Come along now. The rain's starting.
Here comes Father. I see him.
Let's run to meet him.
Wait for me, too.
Mother! Father!
Go back. Go back, you little fools. Get in the house.
But why?
Can't you see there's a storm? Johnny, get in here.
Oh, my dear, I'm so glad you're back.
God, I've never seen such a storm. Why on earth did you let the children out in it?
It came up so quickly, I hardly realized.
Well, I hope the worst is over now.
You get those wet things off and we can sit down to supper right away. It's all ready.
It's all right.
Emily, stop daydreaming and come and help me.
Yes, Mother.
John, you set the chairs around.
Yes, Mother.
My, but that lightning is sharp. I do wish this would be over soon.
Well, I just hope the roof holds out in this gale. John, can you give me a hand with this shutter? If I can tie it here, it may hold.
All right, Father.
Oh, no, it's no use. There it goes. Oh, Alice, Alice, will you stop that babbling? We probably won't be alive in half an hour.
Now, Frederick, I think it's important that we should all keep calm at a time like
calm,
this.
Calm? Calm? With the very roof being torn from over our heads? Oh. If I could find something to break through the floor here, we could get down into the cellar.
Would this do, Father?
Huh? Yes, I think so. Here. There. Ah, oh, that did it. Now, come on, Alice.
Yes, Frederick. Come, children.
That's it. John, Laura, Rachel, that's the way. Climb down. There. There we are.
Mr. Thornton. You think this is going to be over soon?
Well, I don't know. Here, I brought down a couple of decanters of Madeira. You take one, Sam, and pass it around. Everybody take a swig.
But, Frederick, not the children.
Yes, the children, too. They'll need it. They're going to get soaked to the skin before this is over.
Mm-hmm. Jamaica remained and blossomed anew. Mr. and Mrs. Thornton remained, and with patience and tears tried to reconstruct things. But the danger which their beloved little ones had been through was not a thing to risk again. Heaven had warned them.
The children must go, Alice. We'll have to send them back to England.
Yes. We have no choice. Oh, that awful night. In England, they will at least be safe from dangers of that sort.
Within a few weeks after the hurricane, the children took their last look at Ferndale and journeyed by land to Montego Bay. There was docked the ship Clorinda, which was to take them to England. In a moment, the children were scattered all over the ship, smelling here, meowing there, like cats in a new home. Mr. and Mrs. Thornton stood by the main companionway, a little disconsolate at their children's happy preoccupation, a little regretting the lack of a proper emotional scene.
Oh, I do wish we could have afforded to send them by steamboat. But I think they'll be happy here. Children find amusement even in discomfort.
Ah, Alice, here comes Captain Marple. I'd like to have a word with him.
Well, 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 I guess you'll be Mr. and Mrs. Thornton, eh?
Yes, that's right.
Ah, so you've come to put the nursery in my charge, eh? Well, they look like a fine bunch of youngsters.
Captain Marple, if they don't behave, smack 'em.
Now, don't you worry. We're going to get along first rate.
I'm sure you will.
We've got two other young passengers, you know.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, indeed. The Fernandez children, Margaret and Harry, I think their names are. Maybe you know them.
Yes, we know them, slightly.
Well, I'm afraid it's time to go ashore, folks. We're about to weigh anchor.
Oh, dear, already children, John, Emily, your father and I are leaving now.
Aren't you coming too, Mother?
No, dear, we have to stay here.
Oh, come with us, Mother. Do come with us.
But, Emily, dear, think what an adventure it will be. Much more than if we came, too. You'll have to look after the littlest, just as if you were a real grown-up.
But I don't want any more adventures. I've got an earthquake.
Meanwhile, the rail of the Clorinda stood one of the other young passengers, Margaret Fernandez. She was a thin, pale girl of 13, old beyond her years. She stood quietly, thinking.
I wonder what the Thornton children will be like. Probably a nuisance. The pity they're all younger than I am.
Ready to cast off! Ready to cast off!
Dear parents, we are at a place called the Caymans. This ship is full of turtles. We stopped here and they came out in boats. The captain says we mustn't fall overboard now because his boats are full of turtles, too. They make such a funny sighing and groaning in the night. At first I thought it was everybody being ill. Your loving daughter, Emily.
My dearest parents, the captain's son, Henry, is a wonderful chap. He goes up the rigging with his hands alone. He is ever so strong. He can turn around under a bellying pin without touching the deck. I can't, but I hang from the ratlinges by my heels, which the sailors say is very brave. But they don't like Emily doing it. Funny. I hope you are both in excellent health. One of the sailors has a monkey, but its tail is sore. Your affectionate son, John. P.S. The crew are chasing the monkey now. Why do you want to catch him? What are you going to do?
Oh, we're going to cut off his tail.
Cut it right off? Just like that?
Sure, it doesn't do him any good the way it is now. Here he is. Get him over here.
So intent was everyone what they were doing, they didn't notice a schooner laying anchor not far off. They noticed, in fact, nothing at all until the sailors from the pirate vessel began in twos and threes to slide onto the deck. The surprised mate and crew were bundled quickly into the forecastle and confined there. The children were shepherded into the deck house, where the door was immediately shut on them. Indeed, the whole maneuver was executed so quietly that Captain Marple knew nothing of it until he woke suddenly in his cabin to find the pirate captain and his mate standing over him.
Who are you? What is it?
Excuse me, but would you have the goodness to land me a few stores?
But who in the devil are you?
I hold a commission in the Colombian Navy, and I am in need of a few stores.
No, hey, what's that? Is there someone in my hold?
My crew has taken the liberty of appropriating a few stores.
Well, I'm going up there and see what's going on.
You had much better stay here, Captain, yeah?
Oh.
My fellow shall keep a tally. You shall be paid in full for everything we take. They will write you an order on the Colombian government.
Now, see here. Do you realize that you're technically guilty of piracy, making a forced requisition on a British ship, even if you pay every farthing?
So? You hear that, Otto? He says we're guilty of piracy.
Yeah, it's enough to make your blood run cold, ain't it, Captain?
Well, you'll pay me in cash. Though how the devil you got on board without my being called beats me. Where's my mate?
He is well taken care of.
Not him. We know you've got specie on board. Where is it?
You're wrong, I tell you.
If you don't tell the truth, Captain Marple, your life shall pay the forfeit. Do not expect mercy, for this is my profession. And in it, I am accustomed to spilling blood.
Well, but I have a wife and children.
Yeah, if you value your life in the least, you'll tell us at once where you keep it.
But there is nothing.
Otto, come here.
Aye, Captain.
What did you do with those children?
They are locked in the deck house.
Good. All right, you, come on. We are going up on deck.
Ah, I swear to you, there's nothing here but what you see. Nothing at all.
We will see about that. Hey there, Jose. Line up six men with their guns aimed high up on the deck house.
Hey, Capitan.
Now, where is your specie hid, Captain?
Go to the devil.
Fire!
Why, you fiends!
Will you tell me?
No!
A little lower this time, men. Fire! Now, will you say?
Next time he gives the order, it'll be right through their little bodies.
Well? Give him a clout, Otto. He's a stubborn old fool.
Oh!
Put your guns away! Otto, get the children out of the deck house.
What are you going to do with them?
We will just take them over to our ship for an hour or so. Give the old devil a scare.
Ah, sure, I see. Come on out. It's all right.
What were you doing?
It was dark in there. I'm hungry.
You come on, then. We'll go over to the other ship and have some supper, hmm?
Is that what we're supposed to do?
Yeah, that is what you are supposed to do.
As soon as they returned to the pirate vessel, the captain and Otto set to work on the deck of the pirate ship, sorting out the cargo that they had taken from the Clorinda.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. We should get a good price for these. Dump them off.
This should bring something, all right.
Toss that trunk overboard. We have no use for it.
Aye.
Well, now let's see what we have in this.
For nearly an hour, Janssen and his mate bent over their task, keeping what they wanted and throwing the rest over the side. But by now, darkness had descended, and the sound of the splashes carrying across the water to the Clorinda was interpreted quite differently by Captain Marple.
You hear that, Henry? You hear those splashes? They're throwing the poor little ones into the sea, every last one of them. Well, nothing to wait for now. Make ready to get underway. Mr. and Mrs. Bass Thornton, honored sir and madam, I hasten to write to you to relieve you of any uncertainty. It happens that at 10 o'clock on the morning of the 23rd, the Clorinda, through no fault of our own, was boarded by about 50 or 70...
About 50 or 70 ruffians of the worst Spanish type. armed with knives and cutlasses. They took possession of the ship and confined me to my cabin while they ransacked the vessel. I come now to the painful part of my tale. The children took refuge in the deck house, and I hoped that they would there remain free from harm. But no sooner was most of our cargo removed to the schooner than her captain, in sheer infamous wantonness, had them all brought out from their refuge, your own little ones and the two Fernandez children, and murdered them, every one. Frederick, I can't go on. You read it.
And their little bodies cast into the sea.
Bereaved parents found that they could no longer bear Jamaica. They sold Ferndale for a song and returned at once to England. But for Captain Janssen, his seven newly acquired passengers were very much alive indeed. It was obvious they had to have a place to sleep, so he bundled them down into the forehold and onto the dirty floor.
There you are. That's not bad now, is it? Not bad at all. Here are some blankets.
Thank you.
Well, I will be getting back up on deck then. Good night.
Good night.
You will sleep fine tonight, don't fear.
I don't like this bed.
I do. What's the matter with it, Laura?
It's a horrid bed.
Shh. Go to sleep.
Emily, I smell cockroaches.
Shh.
They'll bite our nails off because we haven't washed. And our skin and our hair.
There's a cockroach in my bed. Oh, get out!
Laura, go back to bed.
I haven't said my prayers.
We'll say them lying down.
She mustn't. That's lazy.
Oh, shut up, Rachel. She must.
But it's wicked. If you go to sleep in the middle, then.
Margie? What's up with her, Harry? Won't she speak?
I don't know. I guess she's crying.
Is she often like this?
Oh, she's awful sometimes.
Margie, what's the matter?
Let me alone.
And she's frightened. Margie's got the bogies, the bogies, the bogies.
Oh, you little fool.
Well, what's the matter with you, then?
I'm older than any of you Bass Tauntons. I'm 13.
Well, that's a funny reason to be frightened.
It isn't.
It is.
It isn't, I tell you.
It is, too.
That's simply because you're all too young to know.
Oh, hit her, Emily.
Hit her yourself.
But, Margie, why are we here? Emily, why are we here?
I don't know, Harry. I expect they just wanted us to change ships.
I expect so. But they never told us we were going to be changed.
Grown-ups never do tell us things.
Morning.
We could ask the captain. He just came down the ladder.
May we get up yet, Captain?
What?
May we get up, please?
Oh, yeah, get up. Go on deck. Here's the ladder.
Thank you. What are you counting?
Oh, cases. Just cases. Go on deck.
Here, Laura, hang on to me.
Rachel, do be careful.
Well, Edward's pushing me.
Look, we're not sailing anymore.
It's a town.
See the people on the dock? Look how funny they're dressed.
I like dressing up. I think it's babyish.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's the name of this place?
Santa Lucia.
Why are we stopping here?
We are going to unload the cargo. You can watch if you want to, but mind you, keep out of the way.
All day, the children stood by forlornly, listening to Captain Janssen and Otto haggle over prices with the people of the town. But that night, after they'd all gone to bed, John woke suddenly to find a lantern bobbing up and down in the open hatch.
Who is it? Who's there?
It is I, Corset.
What do you want?
You come with me. I take you into the town.
I don't know. I think they're all asleep.
I'm not asleep. I want to go, too.
All right.
Margie?
Yes?
Come on. Jose's going to take us into town.
I don't want to go.
Oh, come on. It'll be all right. Come on now. Climb up.
Margie, you're stepping on my hand.
Shh. You're up now, eh?
Yes. The rest are asleep.
Bien. Follow me, then.
Where are we going?
They have a celebration. We go and see. We have a good time.
What is it, Jose? Will Captain Janssen and Otto be there?
No, no. They go to the house of the magistrate. But the priest, he's making for the crew a nativity play with real cows.
Real live cows?
Si. Here. It's right here.
But this is just a warehouse.
Si. This is where it takes place. Up these steps now.
I can't see.
Here, I take your hand. So.
How are they going to get the cows way up here?
They pull them up with a rope through that big door. You wait here. I'll be back.
Look, they're bringing something up now. See the rope?
We can't see anything from here.
We'd better stay here, though. Jose told us to.
Well, I'm going over where I can watch. You stay here with Margie, Edward.
I don't see why I can't go, too.
Have they started yet, Jose?
Hey, I think I tell you to stay back.
But I wanted to see what was...
You stay back from the edge.
Look out! Castillo! He's falling! The boy!
Stay here. I go. Let me by. Let me do him.
Oh, the poor little one. Pobrecito. Que horrible. It's too bad. His neck, I think.
Jose, Jose, what happened? Why didn't they bring the cows up?
No, 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 no. Do not come here.
But what's the matter? Where's John?
Never mind. We go back now to the sheep.
But we didn't see the play yet.
Come on, Edward. Do as Jose says.
The morning, Margaret and Edward might easily have thought the whole thing a dream, if John's bed had not been so puzzlingly empty. Yet, as if by some mute flash of understanding, no one commented on his absence. Neither then nor thereafter was his name mentioned by anybody. Weeks passed in aimless sailing. For the children, the lapse of time acquired once more the texture of a dream. They settled down quietly to grow. One night, the pirates settled down noisily to drink. The children found it impossible to get to sleep, so Emily began telling them a story. In the middle of it, a sort of rabble of sailors came down the ladder, very slowly and with much discussion.
Go on.
Why, what's the matter? You are afraid?
Oh, drat it, bring me a light. I can't see where they are.
Yeah, Jose, hand on the lantern. There. There you are.
What do you want? You're drunk, aren't you?
Hey, look at Margie. She's as yellow as a piece of cheese. What's the matter, Margie?
I'm afraid. What of?
Emily... What fine, lovely hair. How I like to stroke your lovely hair.
What have you done? Oh, Emily, you wicked girl, you bit the captain.
Emily, thinking back on the scene, couldn't for the life of her understand why she had turned on the captain so viciously. And what interested her even more was the curious way that Margaret Fernandez had behaved since that night. At first, she'd seemed exaggeratedly frightened of all the men. And then she'd suddenly taken to following about the deck like a dog. Emily sat for a long while pondering these things. Indeed, she felt she was on the very brink of understanding them when a shout broke out through her reverie.
Emily, come on down and play.
Down with a rush fell the curtain on all Emily's cogitations. In a second, she was once more a happy little animal. Any happy little animal.
from Hollywood, the NBC Theater, is bringing you a dramatization of Richard Hughes' novel, A High Wind in Jamaica. The NBC Theater takes this opportunity to congratulate station WWJ, Detroit, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary this week. We will resume with Act Two of A High Wind in Jamaica after a brief pause for station identification.
Emily, may I ask you a question, please?
What?
Are these people pirates?
Of course not,
but they are.
That's silly. There aren't any pirates nowadays.
But that time we were shut up on the other ship, one of the sailors called out pirates had come on board.
No, you silly. He must have said pilots.
What are pilots?
Well, they come on board. Don't you remember that picture in the dining room at home called The Pilot Comes on Board?
Oh, I guess they can't be pirates. Pirates are wicked.
Couldn't we ask them?
I don't think it would be very polite.
I'm sure they wouldn't mind. They're awfully decent.
I think they mightn't like it.
In her heart, Emily was afraid of the answer. And if they were pirates, she felt sure it would be better to pretend not to know. Rachel, the third born of the Bass Thornton children, was a relentlessly domestic little soul. She collected bits of oakum and the moltings of a worn-out mop, wrapped them in rags, and proclaimed them her babies. She could even summon up maternal feelings for a marlin spike, and would sit aloft, rocking it in her arms and crooning. The sailors took care not to pass underneath. But Emily was concerned with other matters as she walked that afternoon. Ever since the night she had bitten the captain's thumb, she and he had studiously avoided each other. Thus was that she had taken this elaborate detour to assure herself of not coming face to face with him. But at the very moment she was passing beneath the mainmast, Rachel dropped her precious infant.
Here, let me see. That's a nasty hole it made.
It hurts.
Well, now, sir, it hurts, but we will fix it up. Here, I will carry you to my cabin.
Don't juggle so.
Oh, now. Here we are. Now, you just take it easy, like. There. You lie there a minute, no?
What are you going to do?
Well, we just take a little of this Stockholm tar, put it on a rag, and put it on your leg, like this.
No,
that's all there is to it, you see. It's not so bad.
But it is. It hurts.
Oh, well, it won't hurt for long. In just a few minutes, it will feel better. I will tell you a story, if you like.
Tell me about when you were little.
when I was a boy, it wasn't thought lucky to grease your own sea boots. So my auntie used to grease mine before we went out with the logger. We divided the fish up into six shares. One for the boat, and one for each of us.
That was all. But it was of the greatest interest to Emily. And shortly she fell asleep, supremely happy. Emily's injury kept her bedded down in the captain's bunk for several days. And it was while Emily was thus confined that the pirates chose to make another capture. A small Dutch steamer taking a consignment of performing animals to one of Mr. Barnum's predecessors. The disgruntled pirates, determined to make the best of their unprofitable capture, decided to take the younger children on board the steamer and stage a circus for them. The stubborn Dutch captain gave them a lot of trouble. They finally had to tie him up, bring him on board the schooner, and lay him on the cabin floor where Emily could keep an eye on him. When at first the Dutchman and Emily were left alone, he tried to speak to her.
Fräulein, you help me, yeah? There on the floor, the knife. You cut the rope, yeah?
But Emily was terrified of him. There is something much more frightening about a man who's tied up than a man who's not. Perhaps it's the fear that he may get away. And the feeling of not being able to get out of the bunk and escape. That added the true nightmare touch.
Please, Fräulein.
No. No.
Ach, so maybe I can get it myself.
No. No, stop. Help. Help. Somebody is trying to get loose. Help.
The Dutchman rolled slowly, painfully, almost within reach of the knife. And then, suddenly, Emily became possessed by the strength of despair. In spite of the agony it caused her leg, she flung herself out of the bunk, and she just managed to seize the knife before he could maneuver his bound hands within reach of it.
Fräulein, you! No! No!
Fire!
In the course of 5 seconds, she had slashed and jabbed at him in a dozen places. And then, flinging the knife towards the door, she struggled back and fell in a faint on the bunk. The first witness in the scene was Margaret, who presently peered down from the deck above. As she watched, the Dutchman, blinded by his own blood, raised his hand feebly for the last time and looked around, confused.
But, gentlemen, I have a wife and children.
Well, here's a pretty mess. The Dutchman still tossed up and stabbed a dozen times.
Hey, who could have done that?
It must have been the Fernandez girl.
Well, it could not have been the order. There was no one else on board but little Emily down there. And with that leg, she can't even get out of the bunk.
You, Margaret, what did you mean, killing a bound of senseless man like that for no good reason? Well, what have you got to say for yourself?
She was standing on the deck there when we came back.
There's only one thing to do with the likes of her.
The rest of the crew and the 4 children, coming back from the Dutch steamer in the second boat, knew nothing of what had taken place aboard the schooner.
Oh, look over there. It's Margie in the water.
What's she doing in the water?
I don't know. Be careful you don't run into her, Jose.
Can you get her on board?
Si. 1 minute. Here. Up. Over.
Oh, keep her away from me. She's all wet.
Why were you in the water, Margie? Why?
Oh, leave her alone. She can't tell us anything.
The crew were all too busy disposing of the Dutch captain's body to notice Margaret as she was brought back on board the schooner. And when her return was finally discovered, the sailors thought it best to leave things as they were. The Dutch captain's was the first blood to be shed on board the pirate vessel. And Captain Janssen was fully aware of the situation in which it placed him and his crew.
Otto! Otto, come here!
Eh? What do you want?
Get out the paint buckets. Set the men to work at once. Send Jose over the rail to paint this name on the side and paint it on everything. The boats, buckets, everything. We are the Lizzie Green of Bristol, bound from Matanzas to Philadelphia in ballast.
Aye, aye, Captain.
And Otto, bring a bucket of water.
Aye. Well, what is it now?
You have a comb?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. Yeah. Here it is.
Good. Now take some scissors and get busy on the children. They look terrible. Scrub them clean. Cut the hair and comb it, if you can.
When Otto had finished with the children, the effect still left much to be desired, but there was a notable improvement nonetheless. As he stood gazing on his handiwork, Janssen drew him aside.
Those children, Otto, they must go.
Aye. You'll lend them at Santa Lucia?
No. They got to go now. We may never get to Santa.
But what...
If we get taken with them, where will we be? Answer me that.
You'll have to risk, Santa. Mm. You can't land them in no other place.
Who said I was going to land them?
But there is nothing else you can do.
Supposing, Otto, supposing we were to put them aboard another ship.
Another ship? Why, we wouldn't dare to stop another ship in mid-ocean.
Why do you think we have spent all morning becoming the Lizzie Green?
Ah, so, yeah, I see.
It will be a risk, of course. But if we are careful, I think we can manage it.
A little after noon, the Lizzie Green was heading for Philadelphia when a steamer was sighted on the horizon. Captain Janssen considered carefully, then altered his course so as to fall in with her. As she drew near, Janssen signaled her urgently, and presently her engine stopped. He had a boat lowered and then embarked in it alone. The children, watching the proceedings from the rail, still thought it was a professional quarry.
I shall cut the captain's head off and throw it in the water.
Shh!
Oh, I don't care. Then I shall take out all the gold and keep it for myself.
And I shall sink it right to the very bottom.
Emily, standing beside them, was silent. Ever since her leg had admitted her to be up and about, she lived in constant fear that at any moment somebody would openly accuse her of a crime. She'd taken to watching Margaret like a hawk. And whenever Margaret spoke to anyone out of her earshot, she wondered if the older girl had finally told what Emily was sure that she must know. She feared everybody. She hated everybody.
Emily.
Yes?
Come here.
All right.
And you too, Margaret. I want to talk with you.
What do you want?
Now, see here. You are going to England.
We are?
Yeah, the captain went under the steamboat and arranged about it, and he just got back. Now, listen. When you get on board, they'll ask you all about everything. They'll want to know how you got here.
Are we to tell them?
No. No, the captain and me don't want you to know. We want you to keep it a secret, don't you see?
What are we to tell them then?
Well, you tell them. Tell them that you were captured by pirates, and then they put you ashore at a little port in Cuba.
Santa Lucia?
Yeah. And then we came along and took you on board our schooner, which was going to America, to save you from the pirates.
I see.
Now, you will say that and keep the other a secret?
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Now, do you think that you can make the little ones understand?
Oh, yes, I'll tell them. I don't suppose they remember much anyway. Is that all?
Yeah, that's all. Now, go along now. You have to hurry. Hmm?
What was he saying? What was this all about?
Oh, shut up. It's nothing to do with you.
Inwardly, Emily's mind was going round in circles. Were they really going to let her escape? Weren't they just tantalizing her, meaning to stop her at the last moment? Or worse yet, were they handing her over to strangers who would come to hang her for murder? All these thoughts crowded through her head at once. But in spite of them, she dealt firmly enough with the Lidleys.
Edward? Rachel? Laura, come here.
What do you want, Emily?
Now listen. We're going on that steamer.
Are we to do the fighting?
There isn't going to be any fighting.
Will there be another circus?
No, we're going to change ships again.
All right. Are you all ready, Herr?
Yes, we're ready.
Oh, my babies! My babies, I've got to take them, too.
Here, you can't take all those marlin spikes.
But I can't leave them behind. They're my babies.
Well, come on now, into the boat with you. They can't wait forever.
Here, little one. Jose will help you.
Darling Jose, goodbye.
Go on.
Captain, don't make me go. Let me stay with you always and always. Oh, I don't want to go.
Well, there now. It will be all right.
Come on, Jose. We'll go without you.
Wait for me. I'm coming.
Bye.
Come and see us in England. Yes, come and stay with us, all of you. Promise you'll come and stay with us.
Soon, the little boat came alongside the steamer, and the children mounted a rope ladder onto her deck. When they were all on board, the little boat turned and started back to the schooner. The children never once looked after it. As soon as the steamer was out of sight, Captain Janssen heaved a sigh of relief, went below, and climbed into his bunk. He did not sleep at once. He lay for a while, thinking back over the astute way that he had handled things. And then, suddenly, a recollection descended on his mind like an icy finger.
Hey, Otto.
Huh? What?
What was the name of that boy who broke his neck at Santa? Jim, Sam, what was he called?
Ah, now there's something we didn't think of. Mm. There'll be the devil to pay about him. Yeah, I think it was, John.
Then, aboard the steamer, the kindly stewardess...
Just look at their clothes. Just look at them. Why, the poor little mites look as if they hadn't been washed in months.
Of all the children, only Emily stood apart, shy and uncomfortable. But suddenly something seemed to snap in her heart. She flung herself face downwards on the deck, not crying, but kicking convulsively.
The poor little thing. This has been just too much for her. There now. Everything's going to be all right. You just go to sleep and forget all about those awful pirates. The cruel, nasty men.
Please. Please.
Yes, dear? What is it?
Those men. The ones who brought us here. They were the real pirates. There weren't any others.
No. You don't mean it. Are you sure?
Oh, yes. They were the pirates who captured us. They just made that up about rescuing us.
Well, well, the cheek of the rascals. You lie quiet now. The captain's going to hear about this.
By the following morning, a British gunboat had caught up with the pirate schooner and her unlucky crew.
Now, Emily, you mustn't brood. Tell me, where did you used to live when you were on the pirate schooner?
Oh, in the hold.
Were you very frightened when there was a battle going on? Did you hear them fighting over your head?
Not exactly.
Now listen, darling. Did you ever actually see anyone killed?
No. Why should we?
Didn't you ever see a body? A dead one?
No, there weren't any. There weren't many, that is.
Oh, you poor, poor little thing.
They lined the whole crew up by the rail and shot them down, one by one. Bang, bang, bang! Then they chopped off their heads and threw them all into the sea.
When the steamer took in her pilot off the coast of England, the news traveled quickly ashore. It was only then the news was finally broken to the astounded parents, the Bass Thorntons, who had long since believed that the children were all dead. The train bearing the children up to London had no sooner pulled into the station than Mrs. Thornton descended upon them.
Look, there's Mother!
Mother!
Oh, my darling, oh, my Mother. Darlings, I thought that Mommy Weed...
Oh, it's so good to see you.
See my doll, oh. Mother, see my doll.
We had a circus.
We were captured by pirates.
Yes, dear, yes, I know. We mustn't speak about that now.
Mother, we had a circus with real lions on a ship.
Yes, dear, yes. The children came up with me to London.
Oh, it's very kind of you to look after them. Really very kind. Frederick, this is Miss Dawson.
Oh, how do you do? We certainly do appreciate it.
Why, there's Margaret Fernandez.
Hello, Mrs. Thornton.
Get out. She's my mother.
Get out. She's our mother.
Well, Emily, Edward, really.
Never mind, never mind. Margaret's my pal. Come on, Margaret. Let's look for a cab.
You should have seen the steamer, Mother. Oh, it was so...
It must have been wonderful, dear. Wait a minute. Where's John? Well, where is he? Wasn't he on the train with you?
No.
John! Where is John? Miss Dawson, do you know where John is?
I'm afraid I don't quite understand. Who is John?
Mm-hmm. children passed the spring season at the house their father had taken in Hammersmith Terrace on... the borders of Chiswick. Captain Janssen, Otto, and the crew passed it in Newgate Prison. One day, early in the summer, a cab came for the whole Bass Thornton family. They drove together right up to the temple in London. They were ushered into a large room where a lawyer, Mr. Matthias, greeted them. After a while, Margaret and Harry Fernandez arrived, accompanied by a small, fanatical-looking aunt. And they all sat down and waited for someone to speak.
Emily, why don't you tell Mr. Matthias about your adventures?
What adventures?
Well, you started for England on a sailing ship, didn't you? The Clorinda.
Yes. She was a bark.
And then what happened?
Well, there was a monkey.
A monkey?
And a lot of turtles.
Tell him about the pirates, dear.
Oh, yes. We were captured by pirates, of course.
Weren't you with them too, Miss Fernandez?
Me?
Yes, child, you. Go on, speak.
Say yes. You were with us, weren't you?
Yes.
Then why couldn't you say so?
Edward, you mustn't speak like that to Margaret.
Now, Miss Fernandez, tell us what you remember about the capture, will you?
The what?
Tell us about how the pirates captured the Clorinda.
The monkey was in the rigging, so they just came on the ship.
Did they fight with the sailors? Did you see them hit anybody or threaten anybody?
They didn't hit anybody. There wasn't anyone to hit.
Then where were all the sailors?
They were all up in the rigging.
I see. Didn't you say a monkey was in the rigging?
He broke his neck. He was drunk.
His tail was rotten.
Well, when they came on board, what did they do? Come. What did they do? What did they do, Miss Fernandez?
Why, I don't know.
Emily?
I don't know.
But you saw them, didn't you?
No, we didn't. We went at the deck house.
And stayed there?
We couldn't open the door.
Bang, 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 bang.
Quiet.
And then, when they let you out?
We went on the schooner.
Were you frightened?
What of?
Well, of them.
Who?
The pirates.
Why should we be?
They didn't do anything to frighten you?
To frighten us?
Well, she did belch like this.
Edward, please.
Now, there's something I want you to tell me, Emily. When you were with the pirates, did they ever do anything you didn't like? You know what I mean? Something nasty.
Yes. He talked about drawers.
And what did he say?
He told us once not to slide down the deck on them.
Is that all?
Well, he shouldn't have talked about drawers.
Don't you talk about them then, Smarty.
Miss Fernandez, do you have anything to add to that?
What?
Well, what we've been talking about.
I don't think so.
I don't want to press you for details, but did they ever... well, make suggestions to you.
It is no good questioning Margaret, but it ought to be perfectly clear what has happened.
Well, perhaps another time.
Yes. Another time would be much better.
Well, Mr. Matthias, did the interview go as you had expected?
Pretty much.
And you found?
What I've always known. That I would rather exact information from the devil himself than from a child.
Yes, but what information exactly do you need?
Everything, the whole story. Don't you realize, Thornton, that without considerable help from them, we may even fail to get a conviction?
What's the difficulty?
Well, we could get a conviction for piracy, of course, but since 1837, piracy has ceased to be a hanging offense unless it's accompanied by murder.
And is the killing of one small boy insufficient to count as murder?
The boy was undoubtedly taken onto the schooner, and I'm afraid there's no doubt that we can personally entertain that the lad is dead. But there is a legal doubt. And when there's a legal doubt, a jury might well refuse to convict.
Yes, unless they were carried away by an attack of common sense.
The other children have dropped as yet no hint as to what precisely did happen to him?
No, none.
Yet they must surely know.
Oh, it's a great pity that when the pirates decided to kill the child, they didn't invite his sisters in to watch.
But unless we can get definite evidence of murder, either of your boy or the Dutch captain, I'm afraid there's a real danger that these men escaping with their lives.
Well, isn't there such a thing as turning King's evidence?
Oh, it's a most unsatisfactory proceeding. No, the natural and proper witnesses are the children. There's a kind of beauty in making them who have suffered so much at the hands of these men the instrument of justice upon them. You say you haven't been able in all these weeks to get the smallest hint from them with regard to the death of the Dutch captain either?
No, none.
Well, is it your impression that they do truly know nothing, or that they have been terrorized into hiding something?
No, I don't think they've been terrorized. But I do think they may know something they won't tell.
But why?
Because during the time they were on the schooner, they plainly got very fond of this man Janssen and of his lieutenant, the man called Otto.
But this affection seems highly improbable.
Well, it's a fact.
Well, I think if they know anything, I shall be able to find it out.
Do you intend to put them in the box?
Not all of them, certainly. Heaven forbid. But we shall have to produce one of them at least, I'm afraid.
Which one?
Well, we had intended it to be Margaret Fernandez, but she seems, well, unsatisfactory, wouldn't you say?
Yes, quite. She was sane enough when she left Jamaica, though always a bit of a fool.
Her aunt tells me she seems to have lost her memory, or a great part of it. No, if I call her, it will be simply to exhibit her mental condition.
So?
I think I shall call your Emily.
Well, you'll have to settle with her yourself about what she's to say. Write it out and make her learn it by heart.
Yes, certainly. I'm not in the habit of going to court unprepared. It's bad enough having a child in the box anyway. You can never count on them. They say what they think you want them to say. And then they say what they think the opposing counsel wants them to say, too. If they like its face.
Yes, I know what you mean.
I think I'll take Emily to Madame Tussaud's waxworks on Thursday afternoon and try my luck with her there. Did you enjoy the waxworks, Emily?
Yes, sir, very much.
It's a fascinating place, all right. I think one can learn a great deal by going there. Oh, would you care for more tea?
No, thank you. I still have some.
Another cream bun?
I already had three.
Well, you eat all you like. Emily, I wonder, during your time on the pirate vessel, do you recall having seen anything of a Dutch captain who was brought on board? A Captain Vandervoort?
I don't know, sir.
In particular, do you remember if any harm was done to him?
Would you please take me home, sir? I don't feel very well. I guess I must have eaten too many cream buns.
When the day of the trial arrived, Mr. and Mrs. Thornton and Emily drove once more into town. But this time it was to the Central Criminal Court. The oath was administered to her, and Mr. Matthias, in fancy dress, began to put his questions. With complete confidence, she sang out the responses that he had prepared for her. At last, Mr. Matthias sat down, and the defending counsel came forward. His first few questions were of a general nature, and then, quite casually, he came to the heart of the matter.
And now, my dear young lady, there's just one more question I want to ask you. And please answer it loudly and clearly so that we all can hear. We've been told about the Dutch steamer, which had the animals on board. Now, a very horrible thing has been suggested. It has been said that a man was taken off the steamer, the captain of it, in fact, onto the schooner, and that he was murdered there. Now, what I want to ask you is this. Did you see any such thing happen?
He was all lying in his blood. He was awful. He died. He said something and then he died.
Oh, I'll hang him on. The effect on the court could hardly have been greater. Emily's brief, hysterical outburst left no doubt in any mind as to what had taken place aboard the schooner. The guilt of the pirates was sealed with a shocking finality. As Emily's father helped her down from the box, she caught sight for the first time of Janssen and the crew huddled up together in a sort of pen. They were much thinner than the last time she'd seen them. And the look on Janssen's face as his eye met hers was a terrible thing to see.
Emily, come along, dear. You don't have to look at those fiends ever again.
The night before the execution, Janssen managed to cut his throat, but they found out in time to bandage him up. He was unconscious by morning, had to be carried into the gallows in a chair. It was the Negro cook, however, according to the account in the Times, who figured most prominently. He showed no fear of death himself and tried to comfort the others.
We have all come here to die. That gallows, it wasn't built for nothing. We shall certainly end our lives in this place. Nothing can save us. But in a few years, we should die in any case. In a few years, the judge who condemned us, all men now living, will be dead. You know that I die innocent. But I am not sorry. I would rather die now innocent than in a few years, perhaps, guilty of some great crime.
A few days later, the fall term began, and Mr. and Mrs. Thornton took Emily to her new school at Blackheath. Emily was introduced to her classmates, while the parents remained to tea with the headmistress.
You poor dear little thing. I hope she'll soon forget the terrible thing she's been through.
Well, I think in time.
Well, you needn't worry about her here, Mrs. Thornton. I know that our girls will have an especially kind corner in their hearts for her.
In another room, Emily was making friends with the other girls. Looking at that gentle, happy throng of clean, innocent faces, listening to the artless babble of chatter rising, perhaps God could have picked out from among them which was Emily. But I'm sure that I could not.
You have heard A High Wind in Jamaica by Richard Hughes, as adapted for radio by Jane Speed. Be with us again next week at the NBC Theater for a great drama centered around one of the most tormented and torrential women in all of theater, Hedda Gabler by Henrik Ibsen, and the following week for The Crime of Sylvester Bonnard by Anatole France. In today's cast, Ramsey Hill was the narrator. The children were Ann Whitfield as Emily, John Ramsey Hill as Edward, Dawn Bender as Rachel, Henry Blair as John, Janine Ann Roos as Laura, Gloria McMillan as Margaret, and Joel Nessler as Harry. The mother was Alma Lawton, the father was John Dodsworth, Marpole was Herbert Rawlinson, Johnson was Stanley Farrar, Otto was Ben Wright, Jose was Donald Morrison, Louisa was Virginia McDowell, the stewardess was Norma Varden, Matthias was Charles Davis, and the cook was Felix Nelson. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The NBC Theater is produced by Wade Arnold. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Today, hear the NBC Symphony's summer concert with two stellar guest artists, Helen Traubel and Vladimir Gulschman. And 30 minutes before the NBC Symphony concert, tune here for another exciting adventure of Sam Spade. That's Sam Spade and the NBC Symphony today. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.